so serious.
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play dude.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Bonus toy department. Is an emergency toy department? What do we call this,
yeah.
Kolsky?
Emergency seems good. A free toy department.
Here's the deal. Basically, we did the show yesterday. We enjoyed the show yesterday, and then at about 2 o'clock, I texted you like, "Dude, we forgot to talk about the Oscars." So
yeah, well, to be fair, I had forgotten the Oscars were this weekend, so I wasn't worried about it until I got your text.
Well, they are, and we probably should mention them. So let's roll. I thought we'd be fun to just kind of roll through the categories, and should we do it will win, should win kind of deal?
Yeah, that works for me.
All right, so let's start with the big six, and we'll go best supporting actress first. Now, your nominees.
Oh, we're doing it same order as the show?
Yeah, like, you know, we got to say the best picture towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, best supporting actress, Viola Davis, Fences, Naomi Harris, Moonlight, Nicole Kidman, Lion, Octavia Spencer, Hidden Figures, Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea. Any of those movies you haven't seen, by the way?
I have not seen Manchester by the Sea, and it was deliberate.
Gotcha. Okay, I did see Manchester
by the
Sea. I haven't seen Lion. You don't want to
Lion,
be sad.
I would recommend Lion. You did see Manchester by the Sea?
I did, yes.
And yet you say you didn't want to be sad, so you didn't watch Lion?
No, I said you didn't want to be sad, so you didn't watch Manchester by the Sea.
Yes, that's exactly correct. But it goes beyond that. I like to be sad. And maybe it doesn't go beyond that. I don't want to be made sad, and I just don't. I think this is a bad trend in movies. It's like just one. You know, it's a cousin of an attractive woman putting on makeup to look ugly or violent or what have you. The like, oh, well, just act stupidly sad for 2 hours and depress everyone. And I think oftentimes we mistake it for gravity.
I guess.
Just,
I mean, everyone seems to love Winona Ryder in Stranger Things, and she acts hysterically sad for like 5 episodes.
Yeah, but she's not. I'm not going to say she's the best TV actress of the year.
People love. I hated that performance, as you can kind of tell, but people love it.
I liked her performance, but I thought, you know, that you can have a character that calls for hysterically sad without having an entire just misery.
I will say in her defense, Michelle Williams is really good at playing sad. She's done it in quite
sure
a few movies
great.
Now.
I'm not hating on her or Casey Affleck, really. I just, I refuse to be bullied into seeing a movie I have no interest in, because people acting sad is allegedly so impressive.
All right. No one's bullying you, dude. This is a safe
Stop
space
bullying
here.
Me. Leave me alone.
All right. So, ironically, I think the will win and should win in this category for me as a person who did play quite a bit of sad in this film.
Hard disagree.
But showed a wider range than that. I think the answer for me there is Viola Davis on both counts.
You're right that she will win. You're wrong that she should win. And I will explain why. Here's my hot take of the day.
Okay.
She should not be in this category.
That's fair, but she is.
Not only is she not a supporting actress in that film, she's not supporting at all. She's, if anything, Denzel is the supporting of those two roles. I mean, it's a film or a play on screen with two leads. One is Denzel Washington, and the lead who's in more scenes than Denzel Washington is Viola Davis. She's obviously the lead actress. Octavia Spencer should win this award because she's an actual supporting actress and she does a great job in a supporting role. That's all. But you're right. Viola Davis will win. I don't understand why they would.
I mean,
why she's in this category.
If Viola Davis was in the best actress category, I would vote for her in that too.
That's exactly right.
So
she
I'm not
to win best actress.
It was a great performance. I'm not penalizing her for the category in which a studio has placed her. You know what I mean?
Well, no. And if I was voting, I wouldn't penalize her either.
Yeah.
But I'm not voting. I'm just telling you what's wrong with the Oscars.
Gotcha. Yeah. Your point is fair. I'm not going to argue that to me that was a lead role, but she was awesome. So
she was awesome. And unfortunately, the fact that she's in this category for whatever reason kind of screws Octavia Spencer and potentially Michelle Williams.
Yeah,
that performance.
I haven't seen Lion.
Nicole Kidman was very good, but not as good as Octavia Spencer or Viola Davis.
I thought Naomi Harris was really great, although that was also a sad one for sure.
I didn't love her. I loved that movie. I did not love her. She was my least favorite part of the movie.
Really?
Not necessarily because she was a bad actress. She wasn't a bad actress. She was perfectly good. I just said that character was the weakest part of the film to me.
Mm. I thought
we talked
really
about this, I believe.
Yeah, I think maybe we did. A really great physically transformative performance from her.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
She's barely recognizable. And again, the short version of my criticism of that movie is that in a movie filled with original and interesting characters, she was very typical. Not because she did a bad job, just because the character was a crack addict mother that we've seen again and again and again on screen.
Yeah, I mean, look, she was, you know, she did what she could with the, I think that's something of the way the role is written, however. I think she did about as
that's
much.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's 100% the way the role's written.
Yeah.
It's not a knock on Naomi Harris. It's just that role did not move me, therefore I am not going to put her up there acting-wise.
Okay, let's move on to Best Supporting Actor. Your nominees in this category, I'm going to butcher this name, Mahershala Ali from Moonlight?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close, man. It's like Mahershala Ali. I mean, it's something close to that. It's one of those names that even though I've heard it pronounced a dozen times, I'm still not very confident.
Jeff Bridges, Hell or High Water. Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel in Lion and Michael Shannon in Nocturnal Animals. I have not seen Nocturnal Animals.
Nor have I.
Which I...
We're both short on that.
I understand is a very polarizing movie. A lot of people hate it. A lot of people love it. Michael Shannon's supposed to be the best thing in it. I really liked Tom Ford's first movie. I probably will get to see Nocturnal Animals at some point, but I feel a little bit disqualified to judge
on
this one. His first movie was, now I'm forgetting the name of it. Oh, it's about like the guy who like loses. Colin Firth, and he like loses his gay lover, and he like. Picks a new, like, he meets this, like, young guy, and he's trying to replace him, and...
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
It's a really beautiful movie, as you would expect Tom Ford to make. It's, I recommend it highly, and I'll think of the name of it while we're talking about this category that I think probably also will and should be won by Mahershala, Moonlight Guy.
I agree with that.
A Single Man. That was the name of the Tom Ford movie, A Single Man.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I have not seen that. I have seen A Simple Man.
There's also A Serious Man. And see, that's why I never remember the name of the movie.
I don't know what A Simple Man is. A Serious Man is the one that I've seen.
Yeah.
I love... If my first complaint about Moonlight, and I don't want to complain about a movie that I really like because I really liked it, but I think I will vote for it when we get the Best Picture. But I thought if Naomi Harris's role as written was my chief complaint, my second complaint is I would have liked to see even more of Mahershala Ali and Janelle Monáe.
Mm.
I would have liked to see a little more of that era of his life and what they meant to it.
Yeah, but you know, I think some of that is really just a testament to kind of how electric his presence is in that movie.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. He is phenomenal. And he, it's a tricky role in a lot of ways because he's playing a, you know, hardened gangster, but he's playing him in a time and place and sort of scenario where he's sort of behaving like the only functional adult. And I just thought he hit all the notes of it so well. I mean, you really felt this guy as a, as, you know, both the sort of dangerous, violent gang member he was, and also as someone with heart and compassion for this poor kid. And I think that's more difficult to convey than people might realize.
Mm. All right, we will go to Best Actress now. I'm going to abstain.
Although quickly, a shout to Dev Patel, who was also very good. Mm. I think Lion may be the most underrated film of the year. I feel like it got kind of pushed to the side as like this, like, oh, it's a nice indie film or whatever. I don't know that people really saw it, but it's an incredible story, and Dev Patel is very good in it.
I should say, it would not surprise me to see either Jeff Bridges or Michael Shannon win here. I think Mahershala Ali will win.
I hope he does. I saw Hell or High Water, and I liked it. But it's not earth-shattering, and it's nothing we haven't seen from Jeff Bridges before. He's great as a crusty old Texas Ranger, but he's kind of just doing his Jeff Bridges thing. I don't feel like it was an achievement in acting in any serious way.
Speaking of just kind of doing their thing that they do, and wondering if it's an achievement in acting, Meryl Streep's nominated in the Best Actress category, everybody.
She better not win.
You know what? I have to say, I'm going to abstain from a should win on this category because this is the one category that I have not yet seen any of the films.
Really?
You've got Isabelle Huppert for Elle. Did you catch that one?
I don't even know what that is.
All right. Ruth Negga for Loving.
I know what that is, and I love Ruth Negga, but no, I have not seen that either.
Natalie Portman for Jackie. I think you did see that, right?
I did see that, and based on no information about the other people, I would vote for Natalie. She was unbelievable.
I've heard she was great, so that would be my should win, but I'm not going to do that because, I haven't seen the performance. Emma Stone for La La Land, and then Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. Did you see Florence Foster Jenkins?
No, and if it was a movie about Jackie Joyner Kersee, I'd be infinitely more likely to see it.
George Foster? I'd see the George Foster story starring Meryl Streep.
Or the Florence Henderson. Like, there's a million things I would have rather watched than a movie about some ridiculous opera fan who buys her way into singing opera, even though she's terrible. Like, it just...
Meryl Streep in the FloJo story, that would be an acting role that I'd be impressed by.
Exactly. If she pulled that off, then I would absolutely be in the bag for her.
Should we just say Emma Stone's going to win this and move on?
I can say definitively, having seen two of these films, that Emma Stone should not win.
But she's going to win, right?
I think Natalie Portman has a chance. I mean, if anyone watched both of those movies and concluded Emma Stone's was the more impressive acting performance, they should be kicked out of the Academy.
You know, I've heard a lot of people say the whole movie hinges on her.
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Yeah. So I don't mean, you know. And I think
it was a particularly good movie.
I think it's going to win big.
It might. Not so good movies win big at the Oscars a lot. But here's the thing. Emma Stone is the only positive takeaway from Emma Stone in this role, and by the way, I love Emma Stone. Love, love, love. But the only thing that was good, in fact, one of the only things that was really consistently charming, the lead actors are. And Emma Stone is her charming self, and she glows on screen, and she's lovable. And this was a totally uninteresting and underdeveloped character, and she's not a great singer. So to have her win Best Actress would be
that would rank highly for me in Oscar travesties. It really would.
All right. Well, we can talk about your Oscar travesties and rankings next week, because I'm pretty sure she's going to win.
Believe me, nothing will ever beat Titanic.
Oh, no, come on. Forrest Gump over Pulp Fiction.
No, Forrest, I don't know why. There's a truck just going nuts out here. I don't know. I couldn't disagree more strongly with that. Forrest Gump is a good movie.
No, it's not. Forrest Gump is not even a good movie. And Pulp Fiction is an all-time classic. Shawshank Redemption was also nominated that year, by the way, and somehow Forrest Gump won.
I totally disagree that Forrest Gump is not a good movie. Forrest Gump is clearly a good movie. I would agree with you that both Pulp Fiction and Shawshank Redemption are better. Titanic is truly just a boat breaking in half with terrible acting, worse screenwriting, and just generally nothing redeeming about it.
Everything you've said about Titanic minus the boat applies to Forrest Gump. Literally everything.
That's not true. So, Forrest Gump has good acting performances.
That's so facile and ridiculous. Ugh. All right. We don't have time to litigate old Oscar tragedies. We didn't even mention Crash in that, by the way.
Crash is terrible.
Or The Artist.
The competition is not as strong. The question really to me is, are you saying that Titanic is a better film than Forrest Gump?
I am not saying that. And here the reason that I'm not saying that is because I've never seen Titanic.
Well, good by for design. You. I respect that, and, so, and I would advocate for a continued unseeing of
Titanic. Believe me, that's the plan. So I can't say that it's definitively better or worse, but
I can, and it's definitively the worst movie to ever win Best Picture.
But I mean, Forrest Gump.
It's worse than Crash.
I don't even.
Titanic is a worse film than Crash.
What was nominated that year?
Goodwill Hunting.
All right, fair. Okay, let's move on to Best Actor, because I think this is maybe one of the most interesting races.
I agree.
That we've got left. You've got Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea. Andrew Garfield snuck in here for Hacksaw Ridge. Ryan Gosling for La La Land. Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic. And Denzel Washington for Fences. I am going to say should win is Casey Affleck. And I think will win is Denzel. I think Denzel's going to sneak in.
Casey Affleck,
was that good? I do. And I think ultimately the controversy in Casey Affleck's personal life is going to hurt him with enough people to get Denzel the W.
As perhaps it should. But I don't know. I really thought Denzel was very, very good. So I would give him could and should, but of course I have not seen Manchester by the Sea.
And as you know, as we talked about during the movie, I had some issues with Denzel's performance. I thought it was a little bit too broad. And some of that I know
is about the
play, you know, sort of shot play format of it. But
right, he really is. I think you did say specifically this when we talked about it. But he's doing a like projecting to the back of the theater thing.
Yeah.
Isn't strictly necessary on film, but you understand it because it is really shot as a play.
Right. I just you know, next to Viola, whose performance was big,
she was better,
but she was much more nuanced. You know what I mean? Like
that's true.
Yeah, it's hard.
The character.
Yeah. You know?
Part of that is the role they're handed, but she does. I mean, I think people who love acting and like watch actors in a way of like, what are they doing here? Probably most of the people who view a film in that light walked away saying Viola Davis was the stud of that cast.
Yeah, which isn't to say that Denzel wasn't good. I thought he was good. I had some issues, and I thought Casey was pretty great. So, that's where I'm at on that. And you're Denzel on both.
I'm Denzel on both, but you know I haven't seen Manchester by the Sea, and I have not gotten to Captain Fantastic, but I do want to see it, and I understand Viggo's
really does a heck of a job. So,
how many people have seen Captain Fantastic, do you think?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about this year is, like, how many people have seen Loving? How many people have seen Captain Fantastic? You know, there's a lot of... And I think that's part... That's just the movie landscape, right? Is how many people see any one movie. But I don't know. Even Manchester by the Sea, which was touted as the Oscar darling from the minute it came out, I don't know how many people saw it.
Yeah, 10.2 million is the current box office take for Captain Fantastic. All right, I guess here we are. You know what? Before we do Best Picture, we should do Best Director.
Yeah.
You've got Denis Villeneuve for The Arrival.
Uh-huh.
Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge. Damien Chazelle. For La La Land, Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea, Barry Jenkins for Moonlight, and for me, will win, I think, is going to be Damien Chazelle.
Yeah.
I haven't seen La La Land. I've seen a few scenes from La La Land, including the opening scene, which like literally sent me running from the room. I would give this award to Barry Jenkins for Moonlight.
Yeah. We're in 100% agreement.
Yeah.
Moonlight really was I think the directing maybe is the thing that stands out the most. It's uniquely paced. The organization of the film into like three distinct parts is a different thing that really works.
Yeah, there's a heavy visual, I think, style. To the movie that matters. It's really great at mood and music and tone.
Yeah.
I just think it's really well directed.
And he got excellent performances out of, you know, a couple vets, but a handful of unknown actors.
Yeah.
And
children. Don't forget how hard it is to get great performances out of children. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kids, it's you know, people without a ton of movie credits. It's Janelle Monáe, who's a tremendous singer and was also really good in Hidden Figures. But, like, I think the direction gets some credit when a less famous and experienced cast does such a tremendous job. So I think Barry Jenkins should win this running away, but you're probably right. Even though, like, I will say the direction of and the look of La La Land, which maybe is more of a cinematography thing, but it's particular and unique and well executed.
I agree.
It's not my favorite movie, but it looks a way, and it was made to look that way.
And there's a certain LA, you know, LA
shine. There's a shine.
You shine. That's a great way to put it. Like a glow. Yeah. About it that I think is going to be really appealing to a membership body who lives almost entirely in LA. You know,
this is the Oscars. It's the Oscars celebrating itself. When La La Land wins 8 awards, It's L.A. Patting itself on the back, basically.
Yeah. Seth Meyers did an Oscar bait skit the other night, that a movie that was like... And I think he sort of really left out, like, movies that are about how awesome movies are. That's always a really strong...
Right.
Strong
how
route.
How awesome movies or people in movies or the people who produce and direct movies, all that stuff. L.A. loves to celebrate itself.
Yeah. So, that's really what the host, right? There's going to be 7 skits about the, how many montages are we going to get about how magical the movies are. And it's such a weird point. Like, we're already watching the Oscars. Like, we get it. Right. Movies are great. You know what I mean?
And by the way, we're going to have 7 montages about how great movies are during the Oscars. Do we really have to give all the awards to a montage of how great LA is?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but... I bet they will.
It's out of touch to elitist Hollywood. we have some time.
Sad failing Hollywood. Sad.
Before we get to Best Picture, we have a little bit of time. So I wanted to really, really mention Best Documentary Feature, which is just an excuse to go, OJ is awesome.
I mean, here's the question I have. If it's a documentary... I mean, the thing's 7.5 hours, right?
Correct.
And probably 95 to 99% of the audience watched it on their television or on a streaming device.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a movie, why isn't it nominated for Best Picture?
Honestly, I think it should have been. It's certainly better. I shouldn't say certainly.
They didn't even nominate the full number they're allowed to, right?
There are some thresholds you have to meet. In other words, like, you have to be named best movie by enough people to be eligible. So I'm assuming that since there were slots, it didn't make that. To me, it might have been the best movie I saw this year, like, period. You know what I mean?
So I don't think there's any question. It was the best movie I saw this year. There's no question. And I, like I said, I really liked Moonlight. I think Deadpool should have been nominated, and I think it's just that continuing, there's a bias against comedy and action, and particularly when they're combined.
I think that's insane, but the bias is real. I think nominating Deadpool is insane, but...
It's probably the... whatever. We don't need to relitigate Deadpool, but it's as good as... most of the movies that were nominated in my mind, just in terms of, was it a good movie?
I thought Lego Batman did better on that score than Deadpool did.
I think Lego Batman was a better movie, although I think it was too late. But
Lego Batman not eligible. But shout outs, because I Am Not Your Negro and 13th are both supposed to be really good, but OJ's going to win that one.
And it really was spectacular.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, they had 7.5 hours to do it, but the breadth of that documentary, the amount of insight into a wide array of issues in our culture that you got from it. It was so well done. And so it was such an incredible way to tell the story of one of the most infamous people in American history by weaving it inextricably into the fabric of what America is and the changes America was going through over the course of that man's life. It was one of the most exceptional works of film I've ever seen.
It's pretty seemingly amazing that, in the same year you could have O.J. Made in America, the documentary, and the O.J. American Crime Story. Both come out
and both be so good.
And both be exceptional and really not step on each other all that much. Like, that's how fertile ground that story is for. You know, it's just rife for telling a really great story in a lot of, from a few different angles. So,
and it's not just that. I think it speaks to the talent and the success in this particular case of Ezra Edelman, because the easy O.J. documentary would be to tell much of the same story that the People versus O.J. told in, much the same way, where it's salacious and, oh my God, can you believe it? And look at all the drama. And instead, he told an incredibly, he basically told the story of civil rights in America through the prism of the O.J. story, and it was, And of the police relationships in Los Angeles, which have been a complicated thing. I mean, he did so much work to make the OJ documentary something more than just, remember that time the crazy athlete drove a white Bronco down the highway.
Yeah.
And that's why I say if we're going to call this thing a feature film, it should be in the best picture category and it should probably win.
Yep, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Here's what is. Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight.
Yeah.
So those are your nominees. Typically, anyone who is not nominated for Best Director is not going to win in this category. So with that in mind, you can cross off Arrival. Sadly, you can cross off Hidden Figures.
Wait, I thought you said Villeneuve was nominated.
Oh, no, you're right. Villeneuve was nominated for Arrival. Excuse me. But you can't cross off Hidden Figures. That would leave out Fences.
And Hell or High Water.
And Hell or High Water.
Which is disappointing because I guess the Oscars make me so mad, man. Honestly, I feel like this is right. If we're talking about who will win, there were one or two on there I haven't seen, but I feel like of the ones I have seen, the two movies most likely to win are the two worst movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's not true. I haven't seen Manchester by the Sea, so I don't know.
I don't think those are the two movies most likely to win.
You don't think it's La La Land and Manchester by the Sea?
No, I think it's La La Land and Moonlight. It's not, I think La La Land's going to win, but if La La Land doesn't win, I would bet on Moonlight.
I hope you're right. I think Moonlight is deserving among that category. I think the three best movies in that category are Hidden Figures, Moonlight, and Hell or High Water, which really was good. It's not exceptional. But it's just a really well done sort of modern day Western with good acting and a story you want to follow and just a good movie. And Lion was pretty good. Lion falls into that category as well, I think. But to me, the two best movies in this category, are Moonlight and Hidden Figures.
I really liked Hidden Figures, but like when you watched that, was there a point where you were thinking Best Picture?
No, but I don't. There is no movie like that on this list for me.
Yeah, Hidden Figures is a nice movie. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that. It sounds patronizing, but
I know exactly how you mean it, and I don't disagree. It's an ensemble film to a large degree. It's well done. It's bright. It's got a positive message. It's telling a story that deserves to be told. It's not remarkable.
Right. It's just not great. It's very good. It's just not great.
But what on that list, did you think Moonlight was significantly better?
I did think Moonlight. I mean, look, I think that when you're talking about Best Picture, you want a movie that it like swings for the fences. And like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Hidden Figures is like roping a double the opposite way. Like, it's
you mean artistically. You mean swings for the fences artistically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
And
if you're going to judge it that way, then I think Moonlight is the one. For me, that's the one I would choose. I don't think La La, you know, again, if we're talking about swinging for the fences artistically, I don't think La La even stepped up to the plate.
Really? That's interesting to say. Now, you know, I mean, look, this is for me.
Because it's swinging for the fences now to sing? Come on. to have people that don't sing well sing, that's swinging for the fences artistically?
Look,
get out of here.
You know me. Honestly, I'm going to watch La La Land tonight, and I'm just like, there's already a little knot in my stomach about the idea of it.
No, you're going to hate it.
Someone showed me the opening traffic scene, and like I said, I could not wait to get up and leave the room.
I think you will find the back and forth singing between Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone even less pleasant than that.
Yeah, all right.
It's mediocre singers singing love songs to each other. Like I just don't get everyone going gaga over La La Land.
I think some people think it's part of the charm, and the two leads are, you know, charming. They're charming bad singers for sure. They're handsome pleasant,
the film.
Nice, and
watch, did
I don't
you like
know.
Crazy Stupid Love? Here's what I'd say about La La Land.
I did like Crazy Stupid Love.
Watch it again.
All right. Maybe that'll be the acceptance speech. Hey guys, go see Crazy Stupid Love. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, that movie, I'm not. You know, that's not a great movie, but at least it's a movie with a story and a movie with characters that are developed and have relationships. La La Land is not those things.
All right. Before we get out of here, and I recognizing it's slightly out of the toy department, how woke do you hope this ceremony is going to be come Sunday night? Because there's a very high woke potential.
Yeah. I think it's probably going to be more woke. It's going to be very woke, okay? I hate saying that, but it is. There's going to be a lot of politics, for lack of a better way to describe it. There's going to be a lot of politics in the speeches. I expect it to all be pretty innocuous, and I expect most of the political statements to be nonspecific. And I think that's probably the right thing to do. You know, I wish some part of me wishes someone would get up there and say something extreme and dramatic. On the other hand, we saw what happens even when Meryl Streep, you know, says a few pretty non-controversial things about equal rights. Like Trump says,
well, that's the end game, isn't it? It's like hoping, right? Because we're a nerd to the ritual of this, right? Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
To watch
if
the
you
cycle
are,
of
right
of actor says this, Trump tweets in response. I don't need it.
Oh,
again.
See, that to me is interesting. The other part, you know, because look, if you agree with the thing that's being said, you cheer, and if you disagree, you go, there go those Hollywood elitists, and they don't get it, and this is why they lost. And, you know, all of that you can sort of see coming, but Trump and his ability, his thin skin and his ability to sort of flip out is a little bit of the wild card here, right? We've never really had that. So,
well,
to me, that's a thing that I look forward
we've
to.
We've had and it then, for the last month, and I haven't enjoyed it.
And then I feel like there's the, you know, if you come at the king, you best not miss sort of vibe of like, at least I'm hoping, you know, I don't think anyone's going to change the world out there, but I'm hoping that there's somebody gets in with just a really good shot. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, sure.
Somebody takes a good line.
If I get a good line or two out of it, I won't be mad at that. But I really, my appetite for the cycle of bickering between famous people on the left and our current president, my appetite is pretty gone
for
that.
Yeah, I want to see him get some fights. I want to see him pick on more of America's most beloved people. Because it makes me laugh. Let me ask you this. Let me flip that on its head. If you know, because the Grammys, right? Everyone thought the Grammys were going to be pretty woke, and they weren't. Other than, you know, until A Tribe Called Quest got up on the stage like 3.5 hours in, it wasn't, right? Like, most people kind of sidestepped it. Do you think you'd enjoy that more?
I don't know. I don't know what I'd enjoy.
I think you feel like it was missing, right?
I'd enjoy a different president. I mean, I don't. The whole thing makes me so annoyed and depressed. It's just not. I don't. I get no joy out of it, unfortunately. Which is a shame because it's the only thing politically that there is to get joy out of now. But I don't like politics, and this has only made me like it less. And although I now feel like a responsibility to be involved at a certain level, like, I still don't like it, and I'm not excited about it.
And on that note, enjoy the show on Sunday, everybody.
Ah, jeez. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.